You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a special post-double overtime edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Well, it's official. The dream of 105-0, it's dead. The Rockets are not going to go undefeated through the preseason, regular season, and NBA playoffs, which I think we all knew. They went down in double overtime against the Grizzlies in preseason on Saturday night in a game that can really be summed up in two words: jet lag. The Rockets, especially the starters, just did not seem to have their legs. Got back on Thursday from 8 days in China, a 15-plus-hour plane flight. A lot of people around the Rockets said they were waking up at 2 and 3 a.m. in the days as they adjust their bodies back. And really, the NBA veterans just didn't have their usual legs. There's not a lot to take out of this game against the Grizzlies. Ryan Anderson, 0 points, an 0 of 5 shooting from the field, 0 of 4 from 3, a lot of them wide open. Trevor Ariza, also 0 of 4 from 3. James Harden, 2 of 6 from the field, 7 turnovers in his 28 minutes. I wouldn't worry about any of those guys too much. Really, the way it broke down, with the exception of Eric Gordon, all of your NBA veterans in this game, Anderson, Harden, Ariza, Nene, Corey Brewer, who went 1 of 7, the more mileage you had on your body, the tougher it is to recover from a trip like that in China, especially when a lot of those veterans did play a lot. As Mike D'Antoni said, he takes these games seriously. He's been playing a lot of his regulars a lot this preseason, and between those minutes and all the plane flights and the travel, I think it caught up with them tonight. Even Nene, who was 4 of 5, I thought he was a little bit sluggish defensively, and you know, you could see the fatigue in him as well. Now, the upside for the Rockets, while a lot of the veterans did not play especially well, although I'll give James Harden some credit, even though he was 2 of 6 with the 7 turnovers, he still had, 14 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, reading the box score wrong. Even when it seemed like it was a bad game for him, he kicked it into another gear in the second half, and I really thought you could see the energy that he was playing with. And so even when they were tired, per se, it wasn't like it was a lack of effort. It was one in which there were turnovers off of dead legs, shot from three that were short. I thought there were a great couple of tweets from Salman Ali over at Red Nation Hoops saying that, a couple of tweets I'm going to read from him. It's telling that the Rockets care this much about a preseason game in ways that they didn't care about at all last regular season. Another one: Houston's still in a basketball game that they're shooting bad purely because of hustle. That's something you couldn't say last season. And again, for most of the game, the Rockets shot 20-ish percent from three. You could tell, except for the young guys, they didn't have their legs. But even the veterans that I was picking on, they still played hard. They just didn't play efficiently. Now, the upside, how do they get to double overtime in a game in which the guys that are paid highly, like James Harden and Ryan Anderson, played poorly? Well, because the young guys played very well. Sam Decker, 16 points in 33 minutes, 7 of 15 shooting. At one point, early in the fourth quarter, he actually had 30 points his last two games on 14 of 19 from the field. He has played really well between watching him these last two games and the praise that head coach Mike D'Antoni gave him at practice on Friday. I think it's pretty clear that Sam Decker is your backup power forward right now. He causes a lot of mismatches. He's a very smart and heady player on the floor. And you know what? Even if Dinanis Manyunas signs within the next couple of days, which seems doubtful considering we haven't heard anything on him in a while, I don't think Manyunas walks into camp and beats out Sam Decker for playing time. Sam Decker is proving that, especially in Mike D'Antoni's system, he's a good fit and he's getting better with each game. In game three, he didn't play at all. I thought it was a little bit of an indictment that that third game of the preseason, the first against the Pelicans in China, that he didn't play and he might not be in the rotation. Well, he's gotten looks in game four against the Pelicans and game five against the Grizzlies. And you know what? He went out and took full advantage of it. So I think it's great to see a young guy that when things don't go his way, he doesn't drop his head. He doesn't get discouraged. Seems like he actually went out and played harder. The other guy you can say that about is Montrezl Harrell. I forgot who it was. Someone tweeted me yesterday saying, I think you're being a little too hard on Montrez. And you know what? I'm willing to say that I was wrong, or at least for the last couple of games I have been. Even though Harrell does have his fundamental deficiencies, he doesn't always make the right reads on defense, he blows a few assignments, the energy he plays with it's infectious. I think you saw James Harden in the fourth quarter overtime when Harrell was just single-handedly willing his way to a game that would not end, got it to overtime, then got it to double overtime. Harden loved the energy that Montrezl Harrell was playing with. Ended up with, got a double-double, 20 and 10 in 26 minutes. And we heard Mike D'Antoni say the other day that he doesn't really look at Harrell as a 4 in this system. He's exclusively a 5. And a lot of people say, well, how is he going to get minutes with Capella and Nene? Well, you know what? Nene's a veteran. He's 34 years old. There are going to be nights like this where Nene, even though he shot the ball well, I would say overall he was a net negative. Nene actually was the worst in the Rockets with a negative 23 plus minus. And I think a lot of that is because of how slow he was defensively on his rotations. Didn't seem like his legs were all the way there. So on those games, it's a long 82-game season. Harold's a good alternative for you. He's a good option. Plays with infectious energy. The rest of the team absolutely loves the reckless abandon that he seems to play with. Also had a couple of blocks that had the crowd at Toyota Center just going nuts. And so overall, you know, he's far from a finished product. There's a lot of fundamentals that Harold needs to clean up. But just his sheer energy, it's going to get him some minutes. I wrote him off too early. I'm willing to say that he's earning his way into a rotation spot. Other big guy off the bench, Clint Capella. Now, he only played 9 minutes because, or I'm reading it wrong, he played 11 minutes, had 9 points and 9 rebounds in those 11 minutes, which is a great showing for him on 4-4 from the field. Really, I thought it was Capella's best preseason game to date. Now, he did make a free throw. If you've listened to me on this show, you know that's important. But beyond that, I would say it's the overall impact in all phases of the game. Yes, he was efficient offensively. He made 4 of those shots. Yes, he was a very good rebounder with 9 blocks in those 11 minutes. But more than that, he was a good passer. He was very fundamentally sound. He had a couple of dimes, one to a cutting Sam Decker, another to Montrezl Harrell, that were really savvy passes for a big man. And I said it during the game, and I stand by it. If Clint Capella can pass that well, he's going to be your starting center. Because really, Nene, at his age, they want to cap Nene's minutes at 20 or so a night, and they know defensively he has his limitations. Capella is clearly the better defensive player. He's also quicker on offense. If Nene has any real advantage, it's in his overall court vision, how savvy he is, and you know what? If Capella, in addition to his defensive advantages and his quickness and his overall stamina, if he can see the floor that well, I know they're going back and forth because they want Capella as a young third-year player to earn the job, but if Capella plays like that, yes, I absolutely believe he's going to be your starting center when it's all said and done. Another reason Nene may have started, I know the Rockets cleared Capella to play. He did miss Wednesday's game with a sore hamstring, and I don't think they want to overextend him too much too soon. So we've looked at Decker, Capella, and Harrell. I think those are your three clear stars from tonight. We talked about the jet lag, which was obviously the biggest hindrance for the regulars. I'm also going to mention a couple of other things I didn't like that I don't think were related to the jet lag. The first thing, this was the second game that the Rockets didn't start Harden and Eric Gordon. With Pat Beverly out, of course, the Rockets are going to have to make a change with who starts next to James Harden in the backcourt. It was Gordon in Game 3, it was KJ McDaniels in Game 4, and KJ started again tonight in Game 5, and it did not go especially well at all. And it's not that KJ played poorly himself. The issue was that early in both the first and third quarters, the Grizzlies trapped like crazy, even ran a full court press because they realized correctly that outside of James Harden, there was no one on the floor for the Rockets that you could really trust to handle the ball and bring the ball up the court without being a walking turnover hazard. So they blitzed Harden, they trapped the ball, and bad things happened. And that is going to be a situation because, again, it's a tough spot for the Rockets. If you go Harden and Gordon, you don't necessarily have the defense to cover an opposing point guard like Mike Conley. It's very clear tonight from the get-go, McDaniels and Ariza spent most of the time on Conley. They did not want Harden to be expending that kind of energy on the defensive end of the floor, nor will they in the regular season when they need Harden to be even better offensively. But you know what? If you sacrifice defense for offense by putting Gordon out there, then you're potentially going to have someone like Mike Conley go off. And if you do what they did tonight, which was sacrifice offense for defense, they put KJ McDaniels out there instead of Gordon so that they could have more defensive options, then you only had one true ball handler, and that was a problem. So what it shows you, especially against starting caliber point guards, it's just how essential Pat Beverly is, because there's not really another point guard that you can count on to play major minutes. Pablo Prigioni was out tonight with a shoulder sprain he suffered on a really just a dirty play from Ajinka in the Pelicans game. Tyler Ennis did not play especially well, 4 of 13 from the field, only 4 assists in 32 minutes. So really, with the Rockets at point guard, the only guy who can handle the ball, even though he's not the point guard in name, you do need someone that can at least handle the ball, a secondary ball handler after James Harden, and be the point guard on defense, guard someone like Mike Conley. That's what you need Pat Beverley to do. And, well, he's out now with a knee injury. So I do think tonight showed just how essential Pat Beverley is, and no one's that worried about him. They did say it might be another week or two with Beverley. They don't think it's too severe. He has been in his Rockets gear working out. It's not like he's in hiding or, you know, on crutches or anything terrible. You know, they say it's a nuisance. They're not even calling it a left knee sprain. They're calling it a left knee irritation, whatever that means. But he is important to this team because right now, if you start Harden and Gordon, you're sacrificing defensively. If you start Harden and McDaniels, you're sacrificing offensively because you don't have a secondary ball handler. So it's a pretty clear deficiency for this team. And really, the only solution is that you hope that Pat Beverley comes back healthy relatively soon. Other thing I didn't like, it's the third game in a row that James Harden has not looked quite like himself. And I don't think he's not in shape at all, because the James Harden we saw against Shanghai and the Knicks was out of this world. He was crazy good in those games, MVP level. But the two games in China and then this one tonight, the first game post-China, he's never seemed to have his legs fully under him. First game in China, 6 of 18, the 8 turnovers. Tonight he was 2 for 6 in his 28 minutes with another 7 turnovers. And I don't think he was making poor decisions per se. It just looked like he had a lot of heavy-legged turnovers, had his pocket picked a couple of times, didn't fully elevate on some of his jump passes. Just little things like that that told me that James was not in peak physical condition. And you know what? He's had a lot of mileage on his body. I'm willing to say that there are some extenuating circumstances going to China and immediately after it, but I do hope we'll see a better James next week. The Rockets don't play again until Wednesday night in Dallas, so there's plenty of time to get their sleep patterns back to normal, and hopefully when that happens in Dallas and San Antonio to close out the preseason, you'll see the James that we saw the first two nights. Again, I don't think it's a physical concern, because we've heard all offseason he's in great shape, he looks in great shape, came into the preseason with two dynamite games. My guess is that it's just related to all the rather extensive travel that comes with going to China for 8 days and then immediately coming back, and there's a lot of jet lag for anybody that does that. I can tell you guys, having been to Asia, it's brutal to go there and get back, and there's a huge adjustment period to it. But now that the Rockets, after Saturday night's game, they've got 4 nights until taking on the Mavs on Wednesday night in Dallas. Hopefully you see James Harden back to himself then. Because you know what? If there are any lagging concerns with Pat Beverley, then you know what? You may need Harden to take on even more of a ball handling role to break the pressure that teams are certainly going to throw at the Rockets after seeing how effective it was for the Grizzlies on Saturday night. Anyway, that's about all the observations I can think of on this Saturday night at Toyota Center, so I will leave it at that. Again, I'm Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And you can also, on that Locked On Podcast Network, follow our sister podcast, Locked On Texans. They're going to have a lot of great content for you in the next 24 to 48 hours as the Texans get ready for their big game at home tomorrow night on Sunday Night Football against the Indianapolis Colts. So again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks to all of you for listening, and I'll be back with you again throughout the week as the Rockets get ready to close out the regular season and close out the preseason and head out to the regular season in just a week and a half in Los Angeles. Have a good night.